Will you all raise a hand up here as we pray for Pastor Jeff before he gives the word for us today? Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing this morning. And God, we thank you for our brothers and our sisters to our right and to the left of us, to the front of us and to the back of us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for those that are not with us today, whether because they can't make it, or whether because they are no longer with us, Lord. We thank you so much for the presence of your Holy Spirit through family and through community. God, we pray that as we enter into your word of truth, God, that you would empower Pastor Jeff. God, that the word that you give and breathe into him, Lord, would spark life, would spark truth, would spark change. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We're in the middle of a series on our vision and core values. And we start off with our vision statement, which is to connect people deeply to God and each other in a fun and safe environment. So we talked about connecting with God. And then we talked about creating an atmosphere or community where we are welcoming to all, serving sacrificially, and becoming reconcilers. And Jaime gave us great instruction on that. Then last week we talked about the aspects of healing and freedom and reconciliation that we want to be a part of this church. And today, we're going to be talking about discipleship and disciple making. And this concept of what Christ has done in and through us cannot be kept here. It has to go out. So if Living Christ Church is just about this, what happens here on a Sunday morning, then we're headed down the wrong path, right? And so this morning, I want to give us some equipping pieces, because we're about equipping and sending you out. And that's what we want to do this morning. So this is my frame of reference as we come here. I think oftentimes in church or in Christendom, we make it a purpose to develop a really good product. But what we want to be concerned about here at Living Christ Church is developing people. I don't see church as a supermarket. I don't see it as a store full of shelves of all kinds of goodness that we can come in and we can take, oh, that's good for me, that's great for me, and then go home. It's about people, developing people. You are not products. I'm not a product. We are people. And at Living Christ Church, we want to be about developing people, not developing a really good product. And sometimes that's messy. But the world needs people, not products. I want that to be our starting off point this morning. I love movies. I'm a fan of creative things. And I really like animated movies. I love that a lot of the animated movies coming out right now, they throw these things in you there for adults because they know you're the one that's going to be taking the kid there. But secretly, I feel like they're really for us adults. There's some good stuff in there for the kids, but when I was growing up, like I loved movies and I liked like Kung Fu and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, this movie came along called Kung Fu Panda, and those two worlds collided in my soul. I love this movie, and 3 is coming out soon. I'm excited, almost as excited as I am for Star Wars. Not quite, but close. And there's something about Kung Fu Panda, because I think there's something in it that speaks to all of us. Right? In this movie, if you're not familiar with this movie, there's these 5 really great Kung Fu warriors. And then there's this panda, and he wants nothing more to be a Kung Fu guy, but he's this pleasantly plump guy that sells Chinese food. Like, that's him. And they announced that there's going to be this new masterful Kung Fu person called the Dragon Warrior. And he wants to go see this new guy, this Dragon Warrior, and he's trying to get in. He can't get in, and all these circumstances, he can't get through the gate. And he sees all these fireworks. And he thinks, all right, I can rig this up, and I'll shoot myself up so I can see the Kung Fu Warrior anointed. And all of a sudden, he goes skyrocketing up in the air, to the point of like, woo, all right, this is scary. And he lands right as the turtle guy, I can't remember, right as he's pointing to the new dragon warrior, who's the best of all the Kung Fu people. And he opens his eyes, and there is Pooh, the panda. He's sitting there, and now he is the dragon warrior. He is the dragon warrior. He's got no training, nothing. He didn't grow up in this thing. All of a sudden, now he is a Kung Fu warrior. And he's trying to ignore it. You know, I'm not really that one. I'm not really that one. And he gets trained and trained and trained and trained. And all of a sudden, who he is matches up with the skills that he's given, and he steps into this thing that he didn't want. He gets to read the dragon scroll, and he opens it up, and there is absolutely nothing written on the dragon scroll. It's in such a way that it looks like a mirror. And the lesson is, we have the power within inside of all of us. And I'd like to twist it this morning and say, yes, you do, in Christ Jesus. Like, oftentimes when we come to Christ, we look around at those people that know Jesus well. But you are different. And what Christ is trying to do is match your world with his world so that the world can know him. And something magical happens. Open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. I love this book. It's one of my favorites. I say that all the time. This chapter is my favorite. This verse is my favorite. They're all my favorites. Grape is the best. Sorry, I threw that in there. Some of you know. Second Timothy. If you don't have your Bible with you in your pew Bible, it's page 1155. So this is what our mission statement says as we step into this passage this morning. This entire book is about Paul talking to Timothy and discipling him. And I love the culmination here in chapter 2. It's so meaty and good. But this is what our mission statement says. We're about empowering people for service by creating disciples, teaching and equipping, and to change lives through healing and sending disciple makers. So it's not just about transforming you. It's about sending you out to transform others. And this is what Paul says to Timothy in verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Let me say that again, because this is a powerful verse. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And he goes and he fleshes this out a little bit more. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive their victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of his crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Yes, please, help us. Remember this, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descendant of David, this is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may attain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is what a disciple looks like. The things you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, and entrust a reliable man who will also be qualified to teach others. Notice that he doesn't say, go and make Paul, go and make more Pauls. The things you have heard me say, entrust to other people, so they can entrust to other people, so they can trust to other people. Last week, we talked about this concept of not conforming to the patterns of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't want to reproduce a whole bunch of Jeffs. Really bad. I want to produce some Toms, and some Jacobs, and some Roberts, and some Deannas. The things that I have heard, my biblical responsibility is to entrust them to you so that you can go and trust them to somebody else, so that you can go and trust them to somebody else, so that you can go and trust them to somebody else, so that you can go and trust them to somebody else, so that you can go and trust them to someone else. It's awesome if I have Jesus, but it's terrible if I have Jesus and somebody else doesn't have the opportunity to hear about Jesus because I'm more concerned with Jesus and me than I am with someone else and Jesus. And he throws these pieces in here, and I think oftentimes the soldier and the athlete and the farmer. And the soldier has to come in line with the person above him. His goal is to make that person as known. He follows after. When he is in line with his commanding officer, the battle goes in the direction that it's supposed to be going. And an athlete, when he invests in his training, and he does everything that he can to invest in his training, he wins the prize. The farmer, as he invests in his crops, this production takes place. And this little section here has everything to do with what motivates. Oftentimes, we're doing our things for Christ so that we become and we receive from Jesus. And we're trying to prove ourselves to our commanding officer. And that's not the point. The point is to make our commanding officer known. And we, as we press in our training and we win the prize, Christ is known. And we invest in the share of the, when we dig and we farm and we produce a crop, Christ is known. We cannot read that section and think it's about us. We have to read that section and know that it's about him. And this is the main truth. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descendant of David, this is my gospel. In order to be good disciples of Christ Jesus, Jesus needs to be known. What's really cool about Christians when they first started out, they didn't have a name for themselves. They were called the Way, they were called this, they were called that. And all of a sudden, people started calling them Christians, which meant follower of Christ. It was a political term that the world gave them because everything about them had everything to do with Jesus. So anybody who came in contact with them knew about Jesus. And oftentimes in this world, we're about making other people known. And there's only one who really needs to be known. And that's what the word Christian really means. And then it's Paul. And Paul always has to stick this piece in there about suffering that, if I'm honest, I always want to remove. I don't like pain. Pain stinks. Hurt stinks. I don't like it. I just want to chuck it out. If I could get through this world pain-free, I would. That's why we have all kinds of drugs. But oftentimes, pain produces something else. Paul says, this is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal, because God's word is not chained. And people need to know him. And oftentimes in the midst of our struggle, we focus on our struggle and we forget about him, and he gets lost. Janet, why don't you come up here? Janet is a disciple of Jesus Christ. What'd I do with it? Oh. And part of this process of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is knowing him and sharing him. And oftentimes when pain and trouble comes, that stops. And it becomes about us. But in order to be a disciple of Christ Jesus, in the midst of those pains, there is oftentimes an opportunity that Christ wants to do in and through us. And Janet had one of those opportunities this week, and she wants to share it with you.
I went to district conference this week. District conference is a conference for pastors and for licensed workers and their spouses. And I just love going there. Like, I look forward to it. I feel so bad if I don't get to go one year, because God just shows up there. He refreshes me. He challenges me. And it's a place where I get to work as a team with my husband to encourage other people. And I just love being there. So I was looking forward to going this year. We were going to be there Monday night through Tuesday lunch. Just a short part of it, but at least I got to go a little bit. So off we went, and we had a great time for dinner. And that first evening, I was getting ready for bed on Monday night. Monday morning, when I had wakened up, I had a tick. I've never had a tick before. I don't know how I got to this age, and this is what happened. And I got it out the best I could, and I looked at it Monday night, and I thought, ooh, I wonder what these things are supposed to look like at this time. And it didn't look good. And so I showed it to Lynn, and we thought, well, we just don't know about these things enough. We better go to the urgent care tomorrow. And my heart just sank. You know how long urgent care take? They take all morning. And all morning is all I had left. And I went to bed, and I was so frustrated and just like, ugh. But as I lay there in that quietness, I just heard God's words of comfort and challenge. You know, what's your story with me? Am I the God? Am I that God who teases you? That we just sang those words, you don't hide yourself to tease me. Is that the story you have with me, that I tease you? And I just thought, no, my story with you, God, is the story of your presence and your provision and your abundance. And that's the story I'm going to go with today. So I got up in the morning. I looked at Lynn. I told him, I don't know what God's going to do at this urgent care place, but he's going to do something. We got to be in tune with what he's doing. So off we go. You know, I get brought back to my little cubicle room, and I sit there for what seems like forever, and I'm just thinking, God, what is it that you're doing? Do you want me to do something, some way to encourage the receptionist who checked me in? And I just hear this loud, yes. I was like, okay, well, so you know what? I'm not very bold. I know you see me as this maybe bold person. I talk to lots of people, but you're my friends. And when I'm in a place where I don't know people, like, I am quiet. And so the idea of going to people I don't know and seeking to encourage them, like, okay, God, well, you're going to have to help me out on this. So I've learned that I can bring these little cards along. They're in my purse, and they have just encouraging things or challenging things on them. And you know what? You can even just hand it to the person and run if it's really necessary. But maybe the Lord will give you some words or something. So I'm thinking, okay, the Lord gives me some ideas of what to say, and I think, okay, I can do this. And I leave, and guess what? She's not there. Only the checkout lady is there. And you're thinking, God, did I hear you right? Yes, you heard me right. So, like, okay. So I give my card to the lady that's there and say, well, it's for this other woman. Would you just give it to her? And, you know, I tell her what to say, and I leave. And I'm thinking, well, God, this was kind of anticlimactic. But, okay, you're in charge of what happens with this, and I'm going to be good with your doing something, and I don't have to be able to see it. So off we go. 10 minutes later, my phone rings. It's the lady from the urgent care. She is called saying, I can't not call you. I have to call you and tell you thank you for what you did, for giving me that card. You have no idea what you've done in my life today. It just means so much. She ended this phone call saying, you know, if you and your husband are ever in this area again, would you just please stop by? I hung up and I thought, what just happened? This is really strange. Anyway, of course, Len wants to know who's on the phone. And so I told him what happened. And then he starts to laugh. He's like, oh, you got to hear my story. So he's, of course, sitting out in the waiting room forever and ever. And this woman comes in. She's clearly sick and uncomfortable. And she gets registered. And then they call her up to pay her copay. And all she has is a check. And they want a credit card. And she doesn't have a credit card. And there's all this tension in the room. And this woman is just beside herself. And Len just goes up to the desk, and he's got his credit card out, and he's like, I'd just like to help here. Could you just put that on my credit card, please? And they look at him, well, we can't do that. And it's like, yeah, I've got it right here. You can do that. And they eventually decided that, well, they figured out another way to do it. You know, I just really love how in that song that we just had that it says, your love is light that all the world can see. And you know, Len bringing them the love of the Lord, it just convicted them, and it made them hungry to work together and figure out how to solve the problem at hand. It was just a really neat experience. It was funny because on the way home, we were thinking about, well, what did district conference mean to you this year? And you know, I never once thought that I was going to say, oh, well, that trip to the urgent care, that was really a blessing to me. And it was such a reminder to me that, you know, my story is a story of God's provision. And I can live boldly even in the middle of hard circumstances because that's my story. Mm-hmm. This is an example of the cards that I bring with me everywhere. I don't remember if I showed them to you or not, but they're just in my purse, and they're my crutch.
That's awesome. You guys hear that? In the process of discipleship, as you allow Christ to become more of him in you, there's something magical that takes place. And this is when I was listening to Janet's story. I was in a sappy mood, and she caught me like really early, and she's like, Pastor Jeff, I got to tell you what happened. And I'm like standing in the hallway of the hotel, and I'm sobbing. People probably thought I got like kicked by a donkey or something. I don't know. It was like, it just knocked me over, because oftentimes I complain about my circumstances. I do. I complain about my circumstances. And this is the truth that came into my head that day. When we help others in the midst of our storm, we become a lighthouse of love that leads to Christ. When we help others in the midst of our storms, we become a lighthouse of love that leads to Christ. And the world is in desperate need of a lighthouse that leads them home. And the word of God keeps on going from Paul to Timothy. In verse 11, here is a trustworthy saying. He sticks a great chunk of a nugget of truth in these four little lines. If we die with him, we also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. The truth is that he died so that we can live. And so that when we come to the understanding that he died for us so that we can live, life happens. And that when we endure in the midst of circumstances, allow him to reign in and through us, we get to reign with him. And then this messy one in verse 12, if we disown him, he will disown us. And here's the truth in this. He always gives you an option to respond to his love. He is so loving, that he allows you to make the choice not to respond to his love. Otherwise, you'd be a bunch of robots. So if you desire to not participate in a relationship with Christ, he goes, okay. He doesn't slap you in the face, bonk you on the head. Nothing painful. He says, okay. That's great. But then this awesome truth, which is different than disowning. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. One of the number one phrases that Jesus said to his disciples when he was here, "Oh, you of little faith." And then he went and did something awesome, like raise people from the dead and cause storms to stop. When we don't have faith, he comes alongside and gives us the faith to boldly step in the places that he wants us to step into. And you saw a perfect example of that in Janet's story. Let's keep going. In verse 14, keep reminding them of these things that we've just talked about, all these things that we've just talked about, that a disciple hears what they're told from God and entrusts to other people to entrust to other people, that the core of the nugget of truth is that Christ died for us, and that needs to be known. In the midst of our terrible circumstances, the kingdom must go on. Len, who's not here this morning, one of Len's favorite words favorite phrases is this: somehow, Pastor Jeff, the kingdom of God will surge forward. It's gonna surge forward. Somehow, it's gonna surge forward, and it must. So keep reminding you these things now, and these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Oh, dear Lord, baby Jesus. If this is not a truth that we need to learn in America today, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoiding godless chatter, because those who indulge in it become even more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows who are his. And everyone who confesses the Lord must turn away from wickedness. He keeps going. In a large house there are articles of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will become an instrument of noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now listen, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace and all of those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. I think I've heard this before. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth, and they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who has already taken them captive to do his will. Don't quarrel. Focus on the stuff of me. Don't quarrel. People need me. Pastor Jeff, paraphrase. Don't quarrel. Focus on me and my purposes. Don't quarrel. People need me. Really simple truth for us this morning. I told you I love movies, and one of my all-time favorites is The Princess Bride. Oh, nostalgia. Nostalgia. Princess Bride has everything in it. Laughter. Fighting. Six-fingered man. Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. You know what the great truth in this story is? You know what the great truth is? In the beginning, you've got this Princess Buttercup, and she's got this servant, Wesley. And every single thing that Buttercup asks Wesley to do, he responds with this phrase, "As you wish." And as this happens over and over and over again at the beginning of the story, she comes to realize when those words are coming out of his mouth, he is responding to her really with the truth of, "I love you." And then something happens. He gets kidnapped by the Dread Pirate Scott. Dread Pirate Scott, the Dread Pirate. He gets kidnapped, disappears, and now all of a sudden the love of her life is completely gone. She gets kidnapped again. She's used for ransom. All of a sudden, the Dread Pirate comes, and he takes her, and she's thinking that he wants the ransom. And they get in this altercation, and she pushes him away. And his response as he's tumbling down the hill is, "As you wish." And she realizes he's calling out, "I love you." There is a world around us that needs to hear from you and from me, "As you wish." And we can push him away, and we can push them away, but in the process, the world gets hurt. And the truth of God is not known, and disciples cease to be disciples. Oftentimes, we get focused on the things that are minuscule in compared to God. And Paul says they're like gangrene invading the church. You know what happens with gangrene? The blood gets cut off. Circulation of the blood gets cut off. And that piece of the body begins to die and decompose. When disciples of the disciple maker cease to be disciples, the blood of Jesus gets cut off to the world, and it begins to die. Church, people, in the words of Paul, God forbid. I want to land with this truth. And the worship team is going to come back up and close us out. This is the truth. This is the point. This is what we desire to be about at Living Christ Church. The goal is discipleship. But if we are more concerned with the need to be right, then all we produce is destruction. Let me say that again. The goal is discipleship. But we are more concerned with being right. All we produce is destruction. God forbid. If you're not a disciple, but that resonates with you, come and talk to me. If you are a disciple and you're struggling with that, let it land on you. Because the world is in desperate need of true disciples of Jesus Christ who listen to the true words of Scripture, that the gospel is about Jesus and the world needs to know him. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses and entrust of reliable men and women who entrust of reliable men and women who entrust of reliable men and women who entrust of reliable men and women. And the world is not cut off from the blood source of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to close. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would land in such a way that would push away all the stuff of unimportance. And that your truth would land on us. Lord, on behalf of Living Christ Church, I say we want to know you. And we want to make you known. That is our prayer, that is our desire. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.